Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the 83rd episode of our Extreme Makeover, Temple Edition, also known as the study of Hilchas Beis HaBechira. And the title of tonight's class is Guarding Division. So we've been learning lots about guarding the Beis HaMikdash, but you weren't really guarding the Beis HaMikdash or the Beit HaBechira. As we learned, this guard duty was really about an honor duty. And it's really about being mindful. So the Levites, they played a special role. And in the immediate past episode, we had moved on from the Kohanim, and we were talking about where the Levites were stationed. We talked about the sacred scrimmage that's called Har HaBayit, the actual halachic temple mount, rather than the larger arena of what we might call the temple mount area today. And then we talked about the concept of the Azara. And I promised you I was going to have my maps back again. So, let's take a look right over here. This looks kind of small, but it's really massive. It's like looking at a, you know, downtown city blocks and seeing these enormous buildings, and it looks kind of, you're looking at it from a higher vantage point, it looks kind of small. So as I mentioned yesterday, this is called the Heichal. This structure is the actual structure of what we call the Beit HaMikdash. And then this is the courtyard that surrounded it. This entire area in the front is known as Ezrat Nashim, or the women's court, and it is not Beit HaMikdash proper. So there is no technical difference between this area, known as Ezrat Nashim, or the area that surrounds this, which would be the actual Har HaBayit, actual Temple Mount. And we learned about this in previous episodes. I'm going to take you across to this side. So that is to say, this is an aerial architectural view of the actual, the area of the Kodesh HaKadashim and the Kodesh, and this is the entire campus area, or a massive building that was the Heichal. This is the courtyard, so the actual area of the Heichal is surrounded by the wall on four sides. And then on the front, there's what we call the proverbial outer courtyard, or Ezrat Nashim. There are no special guards stationed anywhere here, because there are guards stationed around the entire Har HaBayit, as we learned in yesterday's episode. We talked about the Leviim stationed in the doorways, and there were five of them. And then we talked about being inside, minding the four corners. Then we said, when it came to Azara, we would have the Levites minding the corners, but not on the inside, on the outside. Because you have to stand for a very, very long time, and no one is permitted to sit in this actual area, with the exception of a king from the house of David HaMelech. Now, when we study in the Gemara about Hakel that was performed towards the end of the second Beit HaMikdash by a Judean king named Agrippa, and there's a whole discussion whether he was or wasn't even fully Jewish, I encourage you to watch the series, the Talmud and Hakel, to get greater clarity. So at that time, Hakel was taking place out here in the outer courtyard. And there was no issue with him having a seat out here in the courtyard because it wasn't in here. But it does seem in the first Beit HaMikdash, this is where the mitzvah of Hakel took place, where the king was from the house of David HaMelech. Now, we are continuing to talk about where the Levites stand guard or mind the Mikdash. So the Rambam says, Ve'al chamishei sha'arei ha'azara, on the five gateways or entranceways into the courtyard. However, once again, here we emphasize that this took place chutz la'azara. They were in the doorway on the outside. And as we learned yesterday, the logic is kind of off, because if you're minding a particular sacred scrimmage, you have to be in that sacred scrimmage. And the only reason you're minding it on the outside is because of, as we learned, technical reasons, a seating prohibition. Now, here's the problem. We have already learned earlier in the fifth chapter of Hilchot Beit HaBechira, and this takes us to the fourth halacha, we have learned that, in fact, there were not five, but seven gates. Three on the south side and three on the north side. One gate on the east side. That was the only areas of access. So let's take a look at our little map here. This is the gate on the east. This is east. This is west. No entrance from the west. Here we see the south, and here we are looking at the north. And so when we talk about the north and the south, we have these three gateways. You can see them here, the white areas. Those are three gates. Three gateways, the white areas. And then there's an entrance here. We just heard the Rambam's telling us that the Levites were minding five, not seven. So that's very strange. Let's talk about the fact that these three gates were on the north side. They were on what we would call Smuchim L'Ma'arav. This is west. Shechina B'Ma'arav, the Divine Presence is in the west. This is the west area. So the three gates are set back to the west. What are the three gates? So the three gates are, there's the Shar HaNitzutz, the gate of the spark. And we talked a lot about that, so I'm not going to reiterate. That's over here. As you can see, because the north is actually identifiable, it was a gate, but it had a little cupola, a little house built on top. So there's a second floor. There's a gate underneath these pillars, and there's a little house up there. Then there's the Beit HaMoked on the north. The Beit HaMoked was a large structure with a raging fire burning inside. And then, after we have the Beit HaMoked, there was another door, which is actually between these two, and that is the Shar HaKorban. So if we look at it this way, this is the Beit HaNitzutz, this is the Beit HaMoked, this is the Gate of the Spark. We're only seeing a dome from on top. This is the large four-ventricled building. We learned all about that in the previous episode. And here is just the gateway. This is where offerings would be brought into the Beit HaMikdash, into the Azara. The animals would be brought in through here, brought around towards the east, and here in the north area, they would be slaughtered. Those rings are where the animals would be slaughtered, and these are the area where the animals would be butchered. And that's called Shechitatan Batzafon. That's the north side. The Mizbeach, the altar, is on the south side. So you didn't have the people, the pilgrims coming in, and they would bring their own offerings, like, for example, a Paschal offering. You'd come in through the front of the Beis HaMikdash. You'd make your way up these gleaming round steps, and you'd go into the eastern gate. And then you'd present your korban here. Just before the Ezrat Kohanim, you'd be in this area called Ezrat Yisrael. However, Kodshe Kodoshim, not private offerings, the communal offerings, they were brought to this special gate. So we had a Levite at this gate. Then we have three gates to the south, which are not really visible in this picture. In this picture, the way the picture is angled, we have a picture only of the north. We don't have a picture of the south. But just as we have three gates on this side, so too there are three gates on the south side. What are the three gates called? So the first one is known as Sha'ar HaDelek, which literally means the gate of firewood. That's where the wood was brought for the altar. So here's the altar, and we have Shar HaDelek, the wood being brought in through here, brought down here very discreetly, and brought to the Mizbeach. Then after that, we have the Sha'ar HaKorban. And the Shar HaKorban was also known as the gate of the Bechorot. That's where the firstborn animals were brought. So this wasn't brought as a private offering. Firstborn animals would be brought in through this particular gate. And finally, we have what's called Shar HaMayim. This is where they would bring the water to pour in the Mizbeach during the festival called Sukkot. And that's called Simchat Beit HaShoeva. So that would be the gate through the water. Now, on the second level, I don't know if you can see it here, you see they made like a little bit of water. There was a mikveh on top here. This is something called Beit Avtinos, and there was a mikveh there. So these are the three gates on the south, three gates on the north, and one gate on the east, which gives you a sum total of seven. Which begs the obvious question. If there are seven gates, why are Levites only on three, on five of them? It says the Rambam, as we learned in the previous episode, the Kohanim spent the night in the Beis HaMoked. This is where, in that large home where the Kohanim were sleeping. And this is where the little children were studying Torah all night. That's called the Beis HaNitzutz. So because the Kohanim are in those areas, there was no need for a Levite to be on the lower level at the door. That particular area was already minded, if you will, already taken care of. Because the Kohanim were there at the Shar HaMoked and Shar HaNitzutz, so therefore we don't have a need for Levites to be there. Now, the truth is that Levites did not actually live within or spend time within the Beit HaMikdash compound or campus in the manner that the Kohanim did. So the Beit HaMoked didn't have any Levites in it. That was a place for Kohanim. The Beit HaNitzutz, which is that second floor little building here, here we had Pirchei Kuna, the young Kohanim would be. And that's where they would study Torah. So because you have the Pirchei Kuna up here in this little building, there's no reason to have a Levi downstairs here. And although this is a gate, because Kohanim spend the night inside this Beit HaMoked, there's no reason to have a Levi at this gate over here. But in the gate, which you can't see, you would have a Levi in the Shar HaKorban. And on the other side, where we have these three gates, we have Levites stationed at each of these doors. And of course, we would have a Levite stationed outside on these stairs, outside this door. So in that way, we would have Hare Shemayna Asar Makim. In total, we have 18 locations where the Levites are standing guard. Now, the truth is that we heard earlier about 21. So what's up with that? I mean, Chai is a great number, but weren't there other places that Levites stood for a sum total of 21, as we learned, and I mentioned in one of the previous episodes that we talk about the idea of 21 locations, and we talk about the three locations where the Kohanim were, and that the three reminds us of the 3 weeks, and the 21 reminds us of the 21 days that comprise those 3 weeks. At any rate, the Rambam finishes Halacha Ches by saying Hare Shmeina Asar, because these 18 different locations at which the Levites stood as an honor guard, being mindful and honoring and respecting the glory and the greatness of the Beit HaMikdash, this was of one genre, of one set, a set of 18, a set of chai, as they say, chai is to life. And then we will learn in the next episode about other areas where the Levites were stationed, and we're also going to delve into why the Rambam divides these 18 from the additional three, which gives us a sum total of 21. And that, my dear friends, is basically the conclusion of the eighth halacha of the eighth chapter. I'll just point out very, very quickly that there's a famous question that's asked, if it's good enough to have a guard on the second level, and that was the case here with the Beit HaNitzutz, or as you can see it here, the Beit HaNitzutz, which is, we have the Pirchei Kuhuna, the young Kohanim up here, so we didn't need a guard in the lower level. Well, in that case, the question is asked, there were people in Beit Avtinos, which is upstairs here. So why do we need a guard in the lower level? And the simple answer that's given, actually, is that as you can see here, I'm not sure if it's visible, but the gray area here represents water. So there were people on half of this room, but not on the other half of the room. And as such, the room wasn't covered, or the gateway wasn't covered, and because the gateway had to be covered entirely in a mindful fashion, the ones upstairs could not be minding the full gate downstairs. There were two massive gates, as we learn in the fifth chapter. Each gate was 10 cubits wide and 20 cubits high, and there were gold-plated doors. This was except for the eastern gate, which was also, by the way, known as Shar Nikanor. That's the gate that was here, which gleamed in a very, very special way. And I'm pretty sure I shared with you the story that's found in Masechet Yoma about that eastern gate, the gate that, by the way, just about everybody would come to the Beit HaMikdash, would come through the front door, the Shar Nikanor, the eastern gate. This had special functions here in the north, special functions here in the south. People coming into the Beis HaMikdash would enter from the main gate. And who is Nikanor? So the Gemara in Masechet Yoma on page 38, side A, relates that in the early years of the second Beit HaMikdash, there was a very pious man named Nikanor who journeyed to Alexandria. Yes, Alexandria was around long before Alexander. Some even maintain it was even called Alexandria before the times of Alexander. At any rate, and he went to these skilled bronze workers and he hired them to fashion the doors. The people were, this was a craft that they were experts at. When the gates were finished, he set sail with these gates and it was going to be his personal donation to the Beit HaMikdash. At sea, a violent storm, I mean, you're not talking about an enormous amount, it's a small portion of the Mediterranean, but a violent storm almost capsized the vessel. And when all other measures failed, the crew tossed one of these heavy bronzed gates to the waves. And Nikanor was so distraught that he said that if they were going to throw the next gate, they'd have to throw him first. And because he was so adamant and because he was ready to literally sacrifice his life for those doors, a miracle happens. And the storm, the gale storm, suddenly subsides and the ship is able to proceed. And throughout the remainder of the journey, Nikanor was overcome with tremendous remorse and pangs of guilt. He thought, why hadn't he defended the first door of the Beis HaMikdash? Well, when they finally docked in northern Israel, right under the hull, the gate emerged. And this was a tremendous miracle, because the gate should have sunk. Now, when the financial situation of the Jewish people improved, and the gates of the Beit HaMikdash, yeah, the gates on the north and the gates on the south, were plated with gold, in order to remember this tremendous nest, this miracle that happened because of a pious Jew's sacrifice, Mesiras Nefesh, utter commitment to the point of literally giving his life, our sages ordained that Shar Nikanor remained covered with polished brass. And our sages said that the bronze or brass shone like gold, and the Cheshes shone like gold. At any rate, this was called the Shar Nikanor, and a Levite would be stationed outside here every evening. My presumption is that the Levites would recite or chant Tehillim or study Torah, and they didn't have to be standing, but they had to be up. And we're going to hear much more about that, Be'ezrat Hashem, later on in this chapter. I hope you found this uplifting, or at least informative. And our study of the Beis HaMikdash, especially about its mindfulness, the mindfulness that was required, is our way of being mindful of the Beis HaMikdash and not forgetting. And when we study, we become familiar, and that hopefully inspires us to yearn for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash that Mashiach Tzidkenu will build and gather all of us into. May it be b'mehera u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. Thanks so much for joining.